Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
You thought you were good. So well. You know, Tumela, it was his birthday last week. Ne?
Yeah.
Not a whisper. No, and we discovered this on the Friday.
Leroy.
And we're like, we're going to get him. We're going to get him for this.
How? And I'm like, I want to made it through.
No,
next week,
no,
we're
no,
done.
No. We are going to embarrass you. We are going to tell the whole world that you're getting older.
Yeah.
We are going to do it to you.
I'm now fully exited. I've fully exited the youth demarcation.
The political one.
The political one. So now I can't apply for particular grants. Yes. I'm not allowed to have certain tenders. I'm not allowed to go to certain learnerships.
And you know, the president mentioned your likes today.
He
said we should not neglect the over 35.
Oh,
as we worry about the unemployed youth, should not neglect.
So I'm officially 35 and 7 days old today.
Wow.
It's been a wild 7 days, let me tell you. Because, it has been. Because I've also had to make peace with the fact that and I would stand up and they're like, oh, no, not you. In fact, we need to consult with you in the bedroom about issues of the family. So I am now an elder in the family.
Watch. Listen, we've had a watching party of notes.
Yes.
Hey, I don't know if, let's start with, so Tumelo, he brings the weekend.
Yes.
He literally brings the sunshine.
Yeah.
Because when we see Leroy, the weekend is already here.
Nice.
Listen.
So
12 hours to go, just 12.
Lots to watch over the weekend.
Yes.
I loved your selection.
Did you?
I did.
I was worried about you not liking the Onder Niemers.
No, I loved it because it's funny. The Onder Niemers,
which is literally a direct
Undertakers,
translation.
Yes.
Undertakers. Yes.
So it's a reality show on Undertakers.
Yes.
I thought it was funny. I thought it was hilarious.
So Showmax has been doing this thing, Tumelo, where they are putting together. So if anyone is putting together a reality show around celebrities right now, they need to be just like cast out of the country because no one cares anymore. No one is watching stuff about how rich you are, how big
Absolutely.
Your cars are. I think even the mood in the country, we're over it right now.
Yeah.
But what's happened very well, what Showmax has done very well, is do what I thought BET would do when it came to South Africa.
Mm.
Is to find quintessentially South African stories, right, and tell them in this very entertaining way. Not the Moja Love way, where it's a bit sensationalist, but also giving the South Africanness into things. So Onder Niemers is one of those kind of reality shows where we follow these two families for now who are undertakers, and it's a historic business, right? Mm. Family business, they in the business of death. But you get to see them Monday to Friday, how they actually exist as in any other job, right? There's like Candace, for instance, she runs the one that her mom and dad had run the family business before, and now she's taken over with her sister. And you get to see how they just run a normal, you know, business where they've got inventory, you know, how many bodies come in, how many bodies have to go out.
Mm.
You know, they've got funerals to put together. There's ridiculous expectations
and they've got
sometimes.
The oopsies. And I mean, you know how we have oopsies in our job.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes,
oh, yeah.
They're oopsies. Wrong box.
Literally, we've got ones where a quite heavy set woman passed and they had to make sure that they find a casket big enough to be able to accommodate her heft. But there's also those minor things you know, then you have to make sure that the hole in which the casket will be has to
bigger.
Be the same dimensions. There's also cultural things you can't get away from, right? But what I also enjoyed was that Showmax is doing a very wonderful job of seeing the colored community in its entirety. Because we've got a few shows on Showmax. Beulah, which is a show set in the Western Cape around the drag queen scene in Cape Town. So we get to hear some of the words, and it's so nice to be able to be in the community and start to see the idiosyncrasies that we have. But also, you see how we're all the same, right?
It's like they're people.
Oh.
But I also love the undertakers themselves. They're people. They find things funny.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, within those drawers of dead bodies.
Yes.
They think things funny. They find things funny. The grave sites are funny.
Yes. So, And it's a specialized business, right?
Yeah.
So you get to see that they take such huge pride in it, right? I mean, we had a family funeral not so long ago, and you actually start realizing that there's a lot of professionalism that needs to happen. You know, they have to be very sensitive around how they speak about certain things, how they speak about the late of the deceased. You know, always referring to her as Auntie so and so and Danny so and so, and why they want repeat business, right? And how do you get repeat business by doing for your family with your late grandmother, anticipating that your grandfather will then be buried by the same. Because death is inevitable. But it's also witty. It's funny. There's characters in there you gravitate around. There's characters who annoy me, like Candace. But it's, for me, it's a wonderful way, especially with such a macabre and dark topic like death. They make it seem so cavalier.
They did a good job.
So that is now streaming on Showmax, and I think we're on episode 3. So please check it out.
I have to check it out. And also, like reality shows where, reality shows where if it's about undertakers, you get to learn about them.
Yes, absolutely.
Because some talk about real estate and you never see the real estate part, but the drama.
Yes, absolutely.
One of the interesting scenes I enjoyed on that point, Mela, was they had a power outage, but they had to prepare this heftset grandmother for the funeral, and they didn't realize, for instance, that the church where the service would be held would be upstairs. So now we've got this, you know, we're already discussing that she's quite hefty, and now we have to carry this thing upstairs and then potentially downstairs. But I'm not one for the dark, and but for me it was such a wonderful way to watch it. Even when you just do see the random casket and the random, you know, hand of a corpse, you're not sort of freaked out because it's not made in that way. So this is a definite plus for me,
delightful.
For sure, Max.
No, I think it was good. Piano Love, also South African.
Very South African. So I'm going to take a page out of my drama teacher's book and say, how shall I judge thee? Let me count the ways.
Yes.
Piano Love is a movie that stars Buntle Modisele and Questa. And I wish I could say great things about it. It is such a weirdly edited movie.
No, wait.
Yeah.
Wait. You see, we have to sometimes do this to lead.
Okay.
Before we get to the ugly, let's start with the nice.
I'll start
with the nice.
Ooh, okay.
The nice is that the premise was nice. So on paper, I think it was nice. I think if you presented to me this whole concept, I think I would have bought into it.
I think
on paper, this is great.
So the story is interesting because you get this young lady who is going to a performing arts school in Johannesburg, and she has to leave for one reason or another, but not of her own doing.
Okay.
So she has to leave and go home, and mom is in sort of dire straits. So mom is already, you know, taken the yacht out to make sure she goes to the school, and you now come back messed up. You know, you've messed up on your scholarship, and now we need to fix that. And then Questa is playing the role of this guy called the preacher, who's essentially himself, big superstar, who comes back home to live with his uncle because things haven't gone well. And in these two separate worlds, they then merge because they were like childhood sweethearts. And I think that's where the beauty of it comes in, that you see these people who, through their art, and we're artists, right?
Yeah.
So we understand, like, through your art, when you start seeing my art for what it is, and I see your art, there's a sacred place where we meet there. Questa does a good job of, from a musician to an actor, it could have been much, much worse. Buntle has been an actress before, so I expected quite a bit from her. Have you ever gone into a room and there's like a laid out with food, and you're really hungry when you got into the room, and then you get there and there's so much food, you instantly get full?
Yeah.
That's what happened here. There are way too many characters.
There was a lot.
There's so many parallel storylines where I'm just like, there's like a Malume who's trying to get with Buntle, there's a mom who's losing the house, but we never actually get to know. And you're never allowed to get the progression for you to get comfortable to say, okay, Dumelo, this is where we are.
Right.
We're now going. And now
storylines don't develop.
So one scene, the mom is introducing her to the uncle. The uncle is now trying to get handsy with her, and then they're now losing the house. All in the space of like 3 minutes. And you go, okay, so and this is just in one corner of the movie, and there's like 18 other corners. So Black Brain Pictures has done movies before, and I just thought it could have been a bit more refined. But everyone, all the critics that I've spoken to, and I've spoken to a few, have been lamenting the issue of the editing.
Okay.
Part of the reason why I don't get that nice progression and that smoothness, you know, is because you just get hit. It's like shots of tequila being thrown at you.
Okay.
And you never get to actually build up to it and enjoy the story, because you, as you're getting comfortable in your narrative, okay, where are we going with this? And then the rug is pulled under you, and now we're discussing a different story altogether that wasn't, and the seed wasn't planted early enough for us to be able to percolate over the movie. And for a movie that's that long, they could have just cut down some of the streams.
Got you.
And just packed it a bit more compactly. But it is worth watching. Has Quest, has Buntle Modisele, and has a few notable characters in there and actors. And what I appreciate about it is also it's certain places that you can tell, right? You can see the hood of Soweto and some parts of the East Rand. So it's on Netflix right now, and I think it's worth a watch. But go in there being very careful just around the editing. It is a bit jarring.
Okay.
Do you think it's going to do their career any good?
Not Questa. I don't think this is the transition movie for him. You know Tyrese when he left to become an actor?
Yes.
You want something comfortable where you can go, okay, let's see.
Yeah.
This one is not for him because it also requires from a lot of range.
Okay.
And it's just too much to carry a movie.
Absolutely. I thought it was too big for him.
Too big, too early. I think three movies time, maybe.
Small chunks, yeah.
We would have been able to get there because there's something there. He definitely has something there, but I want it to be just a bit more refined because even watching, I wanted him to say, I'm getting good.
I was about to say that when you're watching, do you see Questa? Because that's the thing for me that I criticize. I don't want to see.
No, it's Questa through and through.
You are seeing Questa. It's so Questa.
Yeah,
there's
Questa.
All right, that's it.
No, there's Questa. Oh man, this was such an interesting.
Did you enjoy?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Am I racist? So that's what we're speaking of.
So every now and then I pop into there's a new trend that's happening. Not new, but I think I'm enjoying what's happening now with the content that we're getting, right? Less fiction, less, because there was a time when all we're getting were remakes of old childhood stories. Yeah, The Little Mermaid, Garfield, and we're also now going through this revolution where we're having more and more what we call documentary movies. So it's the dockies, but
it's a film.
So it's in theaters. You can enjoy it on those platforms. And this one's quite interesting by a guy called Matt Walsh. And he takes on this role because he's at the top of the food pile, right? If you look at how the hierarchy of the world works, straight, cisgender,
especially
male, white.
The U.S.
In the U.S. And he now sees this and he starts taking this trip around the U.S. In disguise, trying to almost interrogate all these concepts around identity, around prejudice, around cisgenderness, homophobia, all the prejudices as a white man, and then starting putting those premises to people who are in those areas. So he goes to this one family, for instance, where he starts chatting about how do they deal with minimizing their whiteness so it's not offensive to other people. And you can imagine that's a very deep conversation, right? And the people who he's talking to are definitely not people who are that cerebral. They're not thinking on that level.
Right.
But it's so interesting to also, because I don't know how I felt about it, because I felt it was one of those moments where white people make fun of black people's wokeness.
Yeah,
right?
I certainly also had... No, it was not... I didn't have... I wasn't confused. I just felt... I'm not sure it was completely honorable.
Yeah.
I didn't... So I kind of felt like someone decided it's a great idea, it's a good time to have these conversations and make them into a film. Being black now is the coolest thing on earth type thing. People are woke. And part of me got the feeling they were at a dinner party, producers and other people with money to put a film like this together. And they thought, aren't you sick and tired of these people? Forever throwing these words, like, you know.
For me, the nail on the head is it didn't seem all the way honorable.
Yes,
it didn't seem like they came from a place where they're saying
an honest.
Yeah.
It didn't seem honorable.
I'm privileged. Let's interrogate my privilege. Yeah. Let me go out and find out, as a man, Dumela, how do I offend you in these ways?
Right.
Maybe understand your role, your life as a black woman.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that. It felt almost like going there and saying, "Sorry, am I speaking too loud? Because you're a woman, am I?"
Yeah.
It's almost like pulling the Mickey. Without doing the hard work it.
And that was the irony for me. Here's someone who's trying to tell us that they get
exactly.
That black people are going through these struggles.
Right.
And this entire project proved exactly the point. He doesn't get it.
Okay.
Tone deaf.
He doesn't get it.
Completely tone deaf.
So this entire effort was to try this entire it's an experiment.
Yeah, it's a social experiment.
But got it so wrong, because even through all of that, he still didn't get it.
And for me, it just reaffirms what Hollywood will do. It will always do what it needs to do to get bums on seats.
Yeah. Mm.
And we will go and watch and say, oh, finally, a movie where someone gets us, and we're going to leave there going, no, they really don't get us.
No, you really don't.
Yeah.
You know?
That you must put on a wig.
Yeah.
To pretend like you get us tells
but,
you.
But even with that right wig, there. Even with the choice of wig, right? The wig wasn't making you more black, no. more less white. No. It was just changing your appearance, right? No. It's the equivalent of getting a black man to shave his head as opposed to having a fade. Mm. You're still black. You still look like what
yeah,
you are.
Yeah. I say watch it, Dumela, because I think there's a lot that's going to come up.
But you may want angry.
But you may want to see it or watch it with somebody or let somebody else watch it and talk about it.
Okay, afterwards,
because there's a lot to say.
Yeah, and this is a perfect one to have when you have your
friends
or
whatever.
Your friends of a lighter disposition to come in.
No. I will not be able to do that.
I absolutely
will not be able to do that with white friends.
I always fight the urge to be a constant teacher because we you know, the black people are always confined to having to teach and explain why you're wrong. Mm-hmm. But I watched this right after Mr. Steenhuisen's chief of staff had released his statement. Mm. So, you know, I was really agitated. And I think it shows just how ridiculous sometimes your act of wanting to be in the right, on the right side of history, almost is. Sometimes you must just let people get on with it. You know, my mom always says, "Uti, stay out of women's business because women know women's business."
Right. Yeah, no, I must be on. I would not be able to watch you with a white person and have a conversation. I think it will require a level of maturity.
You are yet to receive.
Yeah,
but you think the question was answered though? I mean, the title.
Yeah.
Of this film is.
Am I racist? Yeah.
I came out. I halfway through I was like, In fact, at no point did I go, oh, no, you're not. It just confirms, but also what it does very well is also reclassify what racism is.
Yeah.
It's not just prejudice against you in your skin tone, but also for you to not take seriously my complete autonomy as a human being who has those complexities.
Yeah, they must do more work.
They might definitely do more work, but it's coming out tomorrow.
Will and Harper, I like that.
I did too. It was a wonderful story of friendship. So, you know, Will Ferrell, he's funny. We know him from Pineapple Express and all other movies, and he's usually, you know, consuming unspeakable things. But this was very interesting because when he was on SNL, Saturday Night Live, he met a friend who was writing the skits, and they became friends because they were hired in the same week and they worked together for 3 decades. And they were friends, and they got into this very strong, beautiful friendship. And then he got an email from the friend saying, listen, I'll be working, I have decided that I'll be transitioning to living as a woman. Okay. And so they decide to go on this road trip where it's in two parts to understand their relationship now that you've transitioned to being a woman.
Right.
But also to see what the world is like with us, with you being a different to what you've known. Mm. So it's a wonderful story where, I mean, there's many times where they are misgendered, right?
Right.
And this misgendering is now, Will now has to sort of like, no, my friend is now referred to as a she.
And it's Will who takes that on that role.
And he takes on that role. Mm. And the fact that he doesn't, see, more honorable, he takes on the seriousness of, this is who you are. And even though the most comfortable thing for me to do is to go and, you know, jest about it, make jokes about it, I'm still having to see you as a full composite human being. There's a wonderful moment where they're driving and he says to the friend, so are you a worse driver now that you're a woman, that you're transitioning to being a woman? And the moment is so rich because it's how friends would pull the mickey of each other, generally, because she was a bad driver forever. She's always been a bad driver. And Will is just emphasizing that, you see, you've always been a woman.
Yeah.
Because if we're using that as the barometer.
Right.
And but it's these moments that come out, and you also see such deep humanity in how, you know, take away all what you want to be called, what you identify as. At the core of everyone's existence is wanting to be recognized, validated, and be seen as complete.
Right, absolutely.
And it was a while. I left there goosebumpy. Aww. I left there. And I didn't think so. I thought, he's going to do such a bad job, Will. He's going to say so many offensive things, especially to the trans community. And he was honorable, in Pamela's words.
Wow.
Honorable. Very honorable.
I beg your pardon. I think my mic was off. He was. Mm. There was such sincerity in everything. Nothing seemed like a performance. Mm. That's hard. Mm. That's hard to film something like that and not and hold yourself from performing.
Mm.
I thought it was vulnerable. I thought it was sensitive. I thought it was honest.
Mm.
I loved it. And nothing stereotypical.
Nothing. Mm. And for me, you could see 30 years of love, respect, of friendship.
And
of
difficulties.
Of difficulties. Yeah. And also, I love how Will is also trying to work it out. He says, let's work at us out. Mm. Let's figure out what we're doing together. But I also need to know, what does the world think of you? Because I now need to be your friend and protect you in this world that doesn't know how to handle us individually, but us together as a friendship. And it's absolutely beautiful.
Leroy, I'm going to leave you with, we need to go.
Yeah.
So just give us the name of the play. We'll see it and then we'll talk about it next week.
The Market Theatre. It's very topical around the issue of Palestine. And it is running from the 19th to the 24th of September. The tickets are on the Market Theatre website. It's one of the best to see, and it's a very short play. It's only an hour long.
Fantastic. Thanks, Leroy.
Bye-bye.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.